We talking rom-com, we talking action, we talking drama and movie classics. Whatever you want, yo, we have it, cause we talking movies on a podcast. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic.
Hey honey, I just wanna talk about the movie like casually. You don't have to bring up the cinematography. Honestly, let's just talk about like how the characters were fun.
Married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married a...
Welcome to So I Married a Film Critic. I'm your co-host Julia.
And this is Bear the Film Critic. Hello everyone.
And we are going to talk about the 2022 movie, The Lost City.
Miss Sage, I enjoyed your book about the Lost City, and I believe you're the one who can help me find its treasure.
What is this? Taken? Am I tooken?
Oh, no. Loretta Sage is missing.
I'm going to rescue her.
Let's start living dangerously.
Alan, what are you doing here?
We're here to save you. I'm certified CPR. I'm certified CrossFit. I have snacks.
Off to them!
We just gotta take a little shortcut through the jungle and we're good.
Jungles eat people like us.
Ah, what is that?
Give it up.
Just give me a second.
Hold on, man. That sounds. Feels like there's more.
Holy mother of God.
I'm like a blood jamba juice.
We're so close. I could actually find the lost city.
If I don't get to this island, my friend and her cover model are going to die.
I am driving.
Oh.
Loretta Sage,
getting you out of here.
Why are you so handsome?
My dad was the weatherman.
The Lost City, March 25th, only in theaters.
Yeah, you were excited about this one.
You know, I was actually really excited to see this, and I shouldn't have been.
Oh, come now.
Well, I think...
Are you disappointed with The Lost City?
You know, the trailer made me think there'd be more Brad Pitt and...
Oh, well, that's definitely a big problem then.
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you who don't know the film we're talking about, this is not the 2005 film The Lost City, which is a movie that Andy Garcia directed, which has Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray in it. That movie's about Che Guevara. It's not that movie. This is also not The Lost City of Z, which is the James Gray film with Charlie Hunnam and Robert Pattinson. Nor is this Alan Quatermain and the Lost City of Gold. No, this is The Lost City from March of 2022.
I'm really glad you distinguished that.
Just want to make sure, just in case, like, oh, sweet, they're talking about the Andy Garcia film. No, sorry.
And nobody is thinking that.
Just in case it's Andy Garcia. He's like, sweet, someone's finally talking about my movie. And he listens in and is like, oh, it's the Channing Tatum movie again.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Yes, and in a very small cameo appearance, Brad Pitt.
Oh, which makes me sad, but...
All right, let's get into it.
All right. So The Lost City opens up with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum with their arms around each other in some kind of Indiana Jones-like temple with snakes around. And you're kind of thinking, where is this going? And then it gets all glitchy.
Well, first of all, did you notice who the bad guy is?
No.
In an uncredited cameo appearance, this is the fourth film of his we're covering on this podcast, Stephen Lang.
Oh.
The Stephen Lang in an uncredited cameo. And you know what? I'm sure he saw the film. He's like, you know what? Just send me the check. I don't need to begin the credits.
Don't put my name on this.
Don't put special appearance.
Yeah. So it gets all glitchy and we go to Sandra Bullock in her New York City apartment where she's attempting to write this tawdry romance novel.
Ooh, good word. Mm-hmm. My English professor in college would have said trite, but tawdry is another good word. And by the way, if this scene reminded you a little bit of a 1984 Robert Zemeckis film called Romancing the Stone, believe me, oh, this is just the beginning. Oh, man. We got...
Ooh, does it steal?
I think steal is a nice way of putting it. Oh, yeah, okay. No, this is such a ripoff of Romancing the Stone. But it's almost the same plot, but we'll talk about that.
All right. So Sandra Bullock plays, you know, a widow romance novelist whose archaeologist husband passed away, a decade earlier, 8 years earlier or something. And she is...
We don't care.
She's trying to write her latest novel called The Lost City of...
D.
Okay. And her publicist keeps calling her and is like, I got this book tour all set up. Where is the book? You know? And finally, she finishes it, and now they're going on tour. And who ends up on the tour with them but Channing Tatum, who plays Dash, who is basically the Fabio cover model for all of her books. And this is where it gets silly.
Oh, I think it got silly from
the first scene.
I think from the opening, from the first frame. This is a comedy. It's a very broad comedy.
And you can tell that these two characters, you know, that she's annoyed with him. She doesn't really like him. She's like, why is he on this tour? And all the women just want to like have him rip his shirt off. And nobody wants to hear about, you know, her actual archaeological discoveries and all of the history that she puts in her books. They just want to see Channing Tatum do a little, you know, striptease.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's very in line with Channing Tatum's probably his image in real life. I'm sure he's felt like this character many times. Tatum famously was a dancer turned actor.
And he used to be a stripper.
That's right. I forgot he used to be a stripper as well. I mean, I can attest from being with you opening night, the opening night screening of Magic Mike.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How really uninhibited female audiences get, and male audiences too, when he's, you know, taking off his shirt. It is interesting, though, to be in a movie theater, a sold out packed movie theater where you're the only, visibly the only male in the audience, and to hear dozens of women around you go, take your shirt off. I'm like, it's a movie. He can't hear you, ladies. He's playing Magic Mike. You know, this is a movie theater, right?
Okay, so then we get to it just gets sillier. So Sandra Bullock, I don't even know what her character's name is.
Well, let's do this right. So Okay. Her name is Loretta Sage.
Loretta.
She is the Paul Sheldon, if you will, of this world. You know, and I like this dynamic. I've always, whenever I see movies about, you know, authors who love writing about their characters, it is more interesting, isn't it? Even though it's, you know, I mean, it doesn't reflect how all writers feel, obviously. And I'm someone who loves to write, and obviously there's best-selling novelists who love what they do. But I do love movies about writers who are just like, oh, I hate this. I'm good at this. It's not my passion. I do love that Paul Sheldon, Misery Chastain thing going on here with
But Bullock. She's less of that and just more sad because she's writing these books without her husband. And it used to be like he would do these archaeological discoveries and right. She would write the tawdry romance novels.
Yeah, so as kind of this, an extension of the archaeology. Yeah. So that's interesting. And by the way, great material for a drama or an action adventure. In a comedy, it's clumsy because there's no flashbacks. We never know who this husband is. It's not like this sense of like, oh, like this is a really special thing. This is what they shared. This is how, you know, this was like her love language or her tribute to him. Not at all. It's just a plot convenience that this character, for no other reason, at the, you know, the midpoint of the movie, she's going to have a Laura Croft like ability mm-hmm. to tomb raid, so to speak.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, yeah.
And there's a lot of dialogue of like, you know, phallic jokes where it's just like, oh, okay. It's just a lot of that's what she said, kind of, you know, undulating with desire over his throbbing. You know, it's just a lot of that.
Ooh, keep going. Well, you know, I got to say, like, it's interesting that this movie, the story was by one writer, that's Seth Gordon. And Seth Gordon, you know, I'm sorry, but like, this is the writer of, author of Four Christmases, Horrible Bosses, Identity Thief, and the Baywatch movie. And then the film, like, this is always such a warning bell for me. The movie was written by four people.
Oh, yeah.
When it's a comedy.
You hate that.
When it's written and direct, when it's a comedy written and directed by one person, it's like, okay. But when it's four people, you get the sense like, okay, one person wrote it, and then you had all these script doctors. One of the script doctors, or I'll be nice. I don't know if that was the situation, but one of the writers on this film, Dana Fox, I mean no disrespect, Dana Fox, but this is also the author of The Wedding Date, What Happens in Vegas, Couples Retreat, Hot Pursuit, How to Be Single, Isn't It Romantic, and Cruella.
I basically have only heard of maybe two of those movies.
I'll be, again, I'm not trying to be mean here, but I will honestly say that I hope to live a very long, happy life where I don't have to watch any of those movies ever mm-hmm. again mm-hmm. under any circumstances.
Okay, so now Loretta is leaving the first you know, book tour event, and she gets kidnapped. And this is when she meets Daniel Radcliffe's character.
Yes, the villain of the piece, although he's playing in like the David Niven sort of note. So he's mean, but he's not even mean like a James Bond villain. He has a lot of swagger. He has a lot of wealth, a lot of privilege.
Yeah, he's a billionaire who's like, I need you to do me a favor. And I'm not going to really do anything bad to you, except not feed you.
The character, you know, and I guess Radcliffe is very good in this, although I wonder, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? Like, you're Harry Potter. And by the way, after Harry Potter, because I seriously have a lot of respect for Radcliffe. After Harry Potter, like, he went to Broadway and did Equus. And you know how much I love Equus. It's one of my favorite plays. I mean, he's a real actor. He can do anything. He probably could pick any script he want. Why is he doing this film? Because this character is not funny or scary enough. Either make it funnier or just make it like a really mean, nasty villain. Neither.
No. And he is essentially a billionaire with billionaire brothers. And he's kind of like, oh, they have more than me. And so I need something special to distinguish myself.
Well, let me also say this. Like, I kept waiting for this to happen. We don't have multiple Radcliffes because there's all these references to the other brothers. I'm like, okay, we're going to get like, he's going to be a split screen. You know, it's going to be that kind of thing where Radcliffe is going to have a lot of fun, ham it up. No. There's all these talk about these other brothers. And I wonder, are they thinking they're going to do a sequel and that's how they'll bring Radcliffe back because he'll be another brother? It's just another thing where it's like, did they forget to write that part of it? Should they have cut that from the script? Because it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, so his whole thing is he tells Loretta that he's found the lost city. And he's apparently read her books, which is funny. But they find this, symbols, and he wants her to translate them because if she can translate them, he can find this crown, the crown of fire. Okay, so that's our MacGuffin here.
Yeah, and to go back to your point, because boy, is it a great point, Julia. Like, can you imagine, just for the sake of argument, can you imagine like Jeff Bezos sitting on a golden toilet reading Dan Brown going, hey, this guy's got it figured out. I got to kidnap this Dan Brown guy and we're going to find this amulet or whatever. Yeah. Like it's such a dumb idea. And it is so crazy. Like, again, like, there are ways to get this story in motion. This is not how you do it. It's so silly. And there's even a throwaway joke. Like, I would have liked it if they'd done something with it, but he wants to impress her when he first kidnaps her. So he has this huge spread of cheeses everywhere.
Yeah. It's like a charcuterie board. That's like, six tables like in a U-shape.
I mean, funny idea, but like maybe do something with that joke. No, it's just like they mention it and it's just a prop that sits there neglected. Like, no, man, like, yeah, more cheese jokes, please.
More cheese jokes.
Do something with the cheese.
I know. So she says, you know, I am not going anywhere with you. Is this part of the tour? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, initially she thinks it's a joke and it's, you know, Bullock. I like Bullock a lot, but it's like, oh man, this is like watching her in Speed 2 where it's like, I'm one of those people who will defend Speed 2 for some reason, but like, she's kind of irritating in that movie. And I'm getting Speed 2 flashbacks. I should be caring about this character, but she's really not endearing.
No, she's
And this is a very endearing actress.
Right. We should be rooting for her a little
bit more. Yeah, and I'm really not rooting for Sandra Bullock. I really should.
I know, because then, so the Daniel Radcliffe, they just put her on a plane and they kind of like, drug her, put her on a plane, and they take her to this this island, and she wakes up on the plane and she's like, untie me! And they're like, you're just in a seatbelt, so you can just, oh, okay. So it's a lot of jokes of like, oh, you think something really bad is going to happen to her, and nothing really that bad ever happens.
But you nailed it, though. It's a lot of sitcom jokes. You can almost hear the laugh track in there, not, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of like, this is the level of humor. It's like a seatbelt joke. It's a cheese joke. It's like, This is not a sharp comedy.
No. Okay, so now Dash kind of sees her get kidnapped and tells her publicist Beth. And so now, you know, he's like, I need to call my friend who's a trainer, and his name is Jack Trainer in my phone. And it's just the okay, I did laugh when he was talking about how he puts the names in his phone, because it was like, it's so inappropriate, but it was like, Susie, who does butt stuff. I mean, okay.
Yeah, there's like, there's some, because look, Channing Tatum, one of the things, you know, because I think we should probably talk about the talent as much as the plot, because really the plot doesn't deserve as much discussion of the talent. You and I got to see Channing Tatum at the premiere of 21 Jump Street. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And that was a real fun experience. And the thing about him is, like, he had a couple years where he was doing movies like A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints and The Eagle. He was doing these serious movies, or, you know, he's like kind of stuck in these dance movies. But when he did comedy, that was like, oh man, he's really good at this.
Yeah, he's good in comedy.
He's really good. And in the same year he did that, I mean, that was like the year, because he did Jump Street, he did Magic Mike, which everybody loves, and Foxcatcher. And no one remembers Foxcatcher, but that's a drama. He's terrific in that. Like, you get him in the right role, he's really great. Mm-hmm. Because he was one of these guys, first couple of years, I'm like, this guy is not going to go the distance.
She's the Man.
Oh, She's
the Man.
Previous So I Married a Film Critic episode. So anyway, I was excited to see him in this, because I was like, well, yeah, the premise is lame, but like, he'll probably make the most of it. And he's trying here. He really is.
He is. So he calls Jack Trainer, and turns out that's Brad Pitt, because you can tell by his voice. And, you know, they locate...
How would you describe Brad Pitt's voice? To me, it sounds like a man who's constantly chewing on beef jerky.
I don't know. It's just... I just know...
Hey, this is Brad Pitt.
Oh, my God.
How's it going?
Don't try and do a Brad Pitt impression. Stop it. Ridiculous. Okay, but they locate her because of her Apple Watch, and they're like, she's somewhere over the Atlantic. I mean, okay.
Product placement?
Yeah. So they fly. So Jack Trainer and Dash, they fly over, and this is the part of the movie I was like, oh, this is really cool, you know, because it's like Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum, and they're going to rescue her, and he's doing all these moves where he's basically a ninja. And Channing Tatum doesn't know how to do anything.
So he's just falling behind him. And also, because Tatum is just playing a model who has no real ability at...
Okay, so Channing and Brad, they get to the island, and they drive around the island in a smart car that's barely big enough for one person. So it's kind of a funny gag. And then... they get to where Loretta is, and I should call them by their character names, but Jack wants Dash to stay by the car. He's like, I can't be responsible for you. So he goes in to save Loretta, and he's putting like everyone in sleeper holds and doing all these ninja moves and stuff. And then Dash is lucky he doesn't die, because he like sneaks up on him to try and follow him. And Jack's just like, all right, fine. But, like, you have to take care of yourself. So they eventually run out of this compound with Loretta. And she's still attached to this chair she's been, you know, tied to.
For some physical comedy. They later put her in it was the big shot in the trailer where they put her in a shopping cart, as the evil headquarters explode behind them, and they're running in slow motion. And Pitt has this moment where he kind of clucks his hair to the side.
Yeah, he's got long hair. So Channing Tatum has a wig in the beginning that looks like Fabio, but like Brad Pitt's hair is real.
The real deal.
The real deal. Yeah. So
kind of a throwback to his Tristan days, eh?
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I love that movie. So so he's...
That's a Legends of the Fall reference, by the way, for those of you.
Okay, so they get her to safety, and then what happens? The bad guys start shooting at them, and they kill Brad Pitt.
Yeah, they shoot Brad Pitt in the head, and the movie shoots itself in the foot, because Pitt has a great introduction. Pitt's character is intriguing. Pitt is giving a vibrant and very, like, it's a very self-aware, but it's also just a really good, really like nuanced comic performance. He's so fun to watch. And the contrast is Channing Tatum, who the material just really isn't there. This isn't like when he was writing material written by Jonah Hill. This is just not that kind of movie. So Tatum is doing the best he can with sitcom lines, but Pitt shows up. It's like, okay, this really feels like this should be his movie. And I was aware that it was a cameo, but it's a problem because when you kill Brad Pitt off, you're stuck with Bullock and Tatum, and they're playing these whiny, unlikable characters. I mean, the thing, like I told you, a quick, easy fix, it's Channing Tatum who gets shot in the head, taken out, and it becomes Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock's movie.
Better movie.
They've got chemistry. It's a fun contrast of the real adventurer versus the adventurer writer. And by the way, that's the Romancing the Stone formula, because it was Michael Douglas's Jack Colton and Joan Wilder, played by Kathleen Turner. So it's this funny thing of she writes this stuff, he really lives this stuff. And this is where you've got two, I mean, the joke being that they're completely out of the element, but I mean, that's one joke.
Right.
And, you know, you just have constantly Bullock is whining about her outfit, which is this shiny purple sequin.
It is like a bright pink sequin jumpsuit. She
describes it as a onesie. Yeah, you know, it's the biggest contrivance. I mean, I guess she looks spectacular running around the jungle in this thing, but of course it's a big contrivance because anybody with a scope on a gun could see her from a mile away and take her out.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking, this is the most nightmarish outfit. If anyone has ever worn a jumpsuit like this, she doesn't even go to the bathroom. I mean, it looks so itchy.
But in any case, I mean, it's jokes about that. She's whining about, you know, the fact that she's stuck with a knucklehead. And the knucklehead is constantly making jokes about his keto diet and his other diets and his workout routines. And it's just like, okay, it's the model jokes. But I mean, getting stuck in the jungle with Zoolander is one joke. It's not what you base a whole comedy on. This whole thing feels like an SNL skit is what it is.
Yeah. And okay, so I thought she was way older than him, but it turns out Bullock is 57. Channing is 42.
Hmm.
So their age difference really isn't that big, but he acts like her younger brother.
Well, he acts like a child. And that's the other thing. I agree with you. I mean, with an easy rewrite, it could have been about a brother and sister stuck in the jungle. Yeah. But to get to the heart of it, there's no chemistry here.
No. She has more chemistry with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, so does Channing Tatum. Because that's the kind of actor Brad Pitt is.
Would have been a fun buddy comedy with those two.
Yeah, maybe with those two. Taking Pitt, and look, I get it. I swear to you, I understand. You know, Pitt did this probably as a favor. He probably shot his scenes in a couple of days. But the character he's playing and the performance he's giving is at a level that the rest of the movie is not at. This was the same problem we had with Rock of Ages, where Tom Cruise just kills in that movie, and everything else about that movie is almost unwatchable.
Right.
And this is a very, very similar situation. So yeah, Pitt exits the movie, and the film really instantly starts to sink.
Yeah, it really does. So we just have our two leads, you know, going through the jungle. Loretta steals the thing she's supposed to translate, right? And, you know, she sort of translated some of it, but she doesn't have the whole message. So she has it like stuffed into her jumpsuit. And finally, at one point, Dash is like, "You took that? Like, why? What are you doing? Like, these people are after us." And so it's like, okay, now she has this thing, and she also wants to find the tomb where this whatever fire, I don't even know
what crown it's is. The MacGuffin.
Cares. So yeah, it's just them trying to evade the bad guys,
survive the elements, and becomes a buddy comedy where eventually they grow to like each other. I mean, so A plot is Sandra Bullock being kidnapped and, you know, escaping from Daniel Radcliffe. B plot was Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum. C plot is Divine Joy Randolph playing the publicist who actually, she takes it upon herself to actually go to the jungle and try to find Sandra Bullock's character herself. I like this actress so much. You may remember her from My Name is Dolomite, the Eddie Murphy film where she played one of the actors, and the Dolomite movie. She's terrific in that. She's quite good in this. And she is a Tony nominee for playing Oda Mae Brown in Ghost the Musical.
Oh, wow.
She's awesome. And she stands out enough in this movie. This is a nothing role. It's exposition. It's a lot of really easy jokes. And I mean, she's so interesting in this movie. I wish she had more than a role that's really busy work. It's busy work.
Yeah. I mean, she's got a scene with Oscar Nunez from The Office.
By the way, I love this actor, but he's playing such a racist stereotype. This, I mean, like, I guess they couldn't get Paul Rodriguez because this, unfortunately, is the kind of role they always stick Paul Rodriguez in. And poor Oscar Nunez, who deserves better because he's so much better playing this nothing role. It's just, you know, and this is a part of the film where I'm going like, you know, boy, do they not need this aspect of it at all. Yeah. And I'm glad they, I mean, you know, it's cool that they want to keep Divine Joy Randolph in the movie. But this is not how you do it. No. If anything, you put her and Brad Pitt in the jungle together. Ooh. How cool would that, how sexy and fun and different would that be with those? Even like in the poster, you know, Pitt and Randolph. Yeah, man, I'd go to that.
Okay.
Those two, yes.
Oh, that's, yeah, good See? Idea.
Another quick fix.
Better
but no, it's,
movie.
Yeah. So at, there comes a point where what happens is Bullock and Tatum share a hammock together, and to quote the movie, they sleep butt to butt. But then I'm quoting the movie.
I swear to you.
But then they wake up the next day, and Channing Tatum has this monologue where he talks about his past. He talks about where he came from and how he respects her and all this. And I turned to you right after the monologue finished, because it's about like a 4 or 5 minute monologue, and I said, is this even the same character? This guy has been...
Oh, yeah, because he's like, I thought you, of all people, wouldn't judge a book by its cover.
Well, I'm like, this dude is suddenly articulate and clever, and I can understand him, and, you know, like...
His character arc was very short.
Well, I mean, he was playing one note, and he was playing... I mean, the character is so irritating and so obviously clueless, and suddenly we have a guy who sounds like... You know, like he's on her level intellectually. And that's not the character that Channing Tatum's been playing for like the last 30 minutes. So what I suspect is that, I mean, it reeks of a reshoot is what it is. I really think that either the audience or even Channing Tatum is like, you know what, this character is lame. How about we go reshoot? The scene feels like something they shot and put in the movie. I don't know if that's the case, but it's how it feels. It's just... As much as, I mean, I'm sure it's magical spooning with Sandra Bullock. I suspect it really is, but I can't believe after one night of that, suddenly this guy sounds like he has a PhD.
Okay.
And that he can hold a candle to somebody who the whole movie, it's been established, he cannot hold a candle to her.
I feel like you judge Dash too. You don't think he has enough intellectual smarts.
I believe in a character arc and I believe in redemption and I believe in the hero's journey. It doesn't make any sense that after one good night's sleep and snuggling with Sandra Bullock, that suddenly this dude can hold a conversation with her.
Yeah.
Let alone, I mean, his dialogue is smarter too. All the pop culture references, all the talk about like what waxing and his penis, all those jokes go out the window and suddenly he's sounding like a real character. It doesn't make any sense.
So eventually our characters, they make it to a little town and they finally shower. They get out of their clothes and they have like this like nice dancing scene. And it's just like, okay.
It's really bad. You know, for one thing, it's these kind of scenes only work if it feels spontaneous. That's why, you know, that's why the legendary scene in Pulp Fiction works. It looks like they're just kind of making it up, which, you know, and of course it wasn't the case. But you know what I mean? Like it can't feel choreographed. Here it feels like they must have spent months working on this dance. And the thing is, you know, Tatum is legendarily a great dancer. I mean, it's not just Magic Mike. I mean, he's in a Coen Brothers movie. I'm blanking on the name. I'll look it up. But like he's Hail Caesar. That's what it is. Hail Caesar. And he's got this amazing Gene Kelly number. Yeah, he's fantastic in that movie. He clearly needs like an old school, like give him like, you know, if they ever remake Singin' in the Rain, I don't want them to do it. But if they ever did cast him, he'd be perfect. Anyway, this is not a good use of Channing Tatum's dancing abilities.
No. Okay, so then we find out that the cops in this little town are like in on it with the bad guy, the Radcliffe character. And so who gets kidnapped again? Sandra Bullock.
I can't believe we jumped over the butt scene.
Oh, the
How do we
scene.
Skip that? That's why this movie made $100 million.
Oh, okay. Well, because at the very beginning when they, after Brad Pitt is killed and they're going through the wood or the jungle, she says, oh, we got to get in the water because they'll lose our scent. And so once they get out of the water, he's got all these leeches all over him. And of course, her jumpsuit has protected her, so she doesn't have to get naked. But he has to get naked, and she has to pull off all of these leeches off his body. And it's pretty gross. But you do get to see his butt.
Boy, do you ever. I mean, I hope his butt has residuals, because it's going to make a lot of money. Look.
No, but it's not.
It's not like a quick, it's not like, okay, you know, Michael Douglas getting out of the bed in Basic Instinct. I mean, this is Mel Gibson in Bird on a Wire. In fact, okay, the whole movie bears that comparison.
Let's watch that. Just kidding.
Oh my God. But I mean, it's like that. I mean, the butt is in the frame.
Okay, but it's also like full of like leech marks. So it's not like it's this really attractive moment.
No. No, you don't get to do that. No. This is the Channing Tatum butt shot. It is as gratuitous as, if not more so, than Magic Mike. It's a PG-13 movie, but because it's nudity of a non-sexual nature, you get away with the camera lingering on his buttocks for minutes and minutes and minutes of screen time. It is shameless. And she's looking at his off-screen penis and making jokes about it. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, nice try. That's like all the women who tell me, like, you know, like, oh, I only saw Magic Mike for the plot. No. Don't give
okay,
me that.
Okay, no, but no, it's no, all no. Like red and blotchy. Like it, I'm telling you, it wasn't anything to get excited about.
There is no way in the history of mankind anyone has ever survived a leech attack on their buttocks with their behind looking that good.
Okay, fine.
The point is that it's his butt. It's not that like, oh, it's so splotchy. No, whatever.
No, it was splotchy. That's what I'm telling you. It had just been attacked by leeches.
You could talk about how amazing his buttocks is. Tightness, no. The curvature. It is truly wondrous.
I think you liked this scene more than I did.
Maybe I did. My point is that it's so freaking gratuitous. This whole movie is like... Look, it knows who its demographic is. Yeah, let's just put it that way.
It's all these like sex jokes that... Some are funny and some are not. I don't know.
Who would you say the demographic is? 14-year-old girls or 15-year-old girls?
Oh, no. No? I don't think it's that young.
Oh,
no.
You think it's like the 22-year-old party girls?
Yeah.
Like after the bar, they're like, woo, let's go see Channing Tatum, woo!
20 to 50-year-olds.
20 to 50-year-olds.
Yeah, because they like Sandra Bullock and Brad Pitt. Come on.
20 to 50-year-olds. Yeah, that's an interesting demographic.
Okay, maybe not even that young, because Channing Tatum is my age, so I don't
know. So you're gonna just knock off the geriatrics?
No, I'm going to...
The women who could still see would really like to see Channing Tatum. Oh, hot damn. His buttocks.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Is this in 3D?
Let's fast forward to her second kidnapping.
Sure, her second kidnapping, yeah. Yes.
So she gets taken by Daniel Radcliffe again, and... Channing Tatum has to try and rescue her without Brad Pitt this time. But he just ends up getting kidnapped too. Right. So.
Yeah, he has a scene where he's roaring after her on a motorcycle, and it's like his Indiana Jones moment, but he can't fight.
No.
So it's, I guess that's funny. I feel like this is all Zoolander. This is leftover Zoolander jokes.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, to fast forward, basically they go... You know, they find the
MacGuffin,
the sinkhole or whatever. Oh, yeah, they go through all these like challenges. Oh, when he does this thing, whenever she gets, you know, anxious, where he's like, "Do you smell that?" You know, he helps her breathe. It's like, oh, okay, yes. So they're connecting. All right,
I guess that's it. That's this movie's idea of character development.
Yeah, not how they fall in love with each other, and then they find the tomb and they take it off and. What we find out is that the fire, whatever, MacGuffin thing, is just shells. It's not even worth anything. But the two people, these ancient people that were buried in this tomb, like, he loved her so much that he gave her, like, one shell for, like, every year they were together. And eventually she just had this head full of shells. Okay. So now Sandra Bullock's character is just like, oh, it's like true love. And she's like making all these connections, you know, I don't know. It's like her epiphany moment, I guess. And then Daniel Radcliffe's character is so ticked, he buries them alive in this tomb. So now they're buried alive and they escape, obviously. And then they get rescued by Beth. So, I don't know what she writes another book. They end up in Hawaii together. They kiss on the beach. It's really weird. Like, it's not, I just don't feel like these characters have any chemistry.
Yeah. The third act feels as forced as the rest of the film, but you're right. It's not satisfying. It doesn't feel cathartic for any of the characters. What happens? The sense of tension with Daniel Radcliffe's villain never builds. There's a lot here that just, it's neither here nor there. If this film had scorching, I mean, that's the thing, I mentioned Bird on a Wire. Marty and I, my brother and the editor of the show, we were talking about Bird on the Wire the other day because that's not a good movie. But Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn have such great chemistry and they're so pleasant and they look so fantastic. The film coasts as much as it can on chemistry. And this is one of these cases where, yeah, Bullock and Tatum, it's functional, but this is not one of the great screen pairings. And it doesn't need to be Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. And this movie doesn't really need to be as good as or even on the level of Romancing the Stone. But the problem is that movie is a textbook example of how to make that work, how to make a romantic jungle adventure that's contemporary work. That movie came out in 1984. It's still edgy. It's still hilarious. It's still incredibly sexy. It's really exciting. It has a MacGuffin that's really interesting. It has a villain that you're really afraid of. And this thing is just, it feels like all of those things except completely watered down to a point where there's barely a movie there.
Right. Yeah.
You've got a trailer.
And and honestly, it's like, do we really want to watch two people not know what they're doing? Because the whole time, you know, they're both, it's dumb luck that they even survive this whole adventure, this ordeal. And they end up, I don't know, people end up getting injured or killed or whatever. They just look at each other like, did we just do that? I mean, the whole movie's like that.
I mean, far be it from me to judge a film that was written by four people, let alone five people if you count the original writer. But yeah, there's just a lot of ideas here that don't click. And it's funny because, again, the aspect of this film that's meant to be like, oh, it's going to be so great. People are going to get all attached to Pitt and then Pitt's going to die. And it's going to be... No, that does not work because...
That was the saddest part.
I know the idea is that it's going to be something that the audience can delight in because it's going to be a cameo, like, you know, like his quick cameo in Deadpool 2 or any of these movies where Pitt shows up quickly. But this is a film that creates, it brings in a great actor. He's playing a really engaging character.
It just makes me want to watch a Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah. Or, you know, and not even, I mean, if there's somehow an alternate cut of this movie where it's just him in the jungle.
Just him, like, showing how to survive, like, his survival skills in the jungle by himself.
Well, I'm totally serious about this. I mean, like, my idea for, like, an alternate ending or just an alternate version. Yeah, Brad Pitt and Divine Joy Randolph playing their characters in the jungle together. Because you're absolutely right. You need, you know, the comedy role, straight man, and you know, you need someone who's comedic and you need someone who's like the serious person to bounce off of. This, you know.
Is Bullock supposed to be the straight man?
Exactly. And Tatum's supposed to be the comedic figure. You know, that so it's reversed where he's like, you know, she's the Indiana Jones here and he's the Marion Ravenwolf.
Yeah, but she doesn't know. If she had survival skills, like if she was kind of like, oh, I could have done all this by myself, I could see it working a little bit better. Like if she actually knew what she was doing.
I totally agree with you because the thing is like they're both audience surrogates, right? Because the audience surrogate is the person who would go, okay, I understand. Like I would, you know, if I were in the jungle being chased by bad guys with guns.
I wouldn't know what to do.
I would be out of my element. Exactly. I can relate to what that person is suffering through. But you're absolutely right. We have two people in that situation and they both don't like each other. You know, it might have been better, another rewrite idea, it might have been better if they were on their honeymoon and this happened. It might have been better if it established that they actually like each other and there would have been something at stake. But because you get the sense that if Channing Tatum were suddenly to fall to his death, she'd be like, oh, well, I hated that guy to begin with.
Right.
That's a problem too. But this is a shallow comedy about shallow people.
Mm. Who are trying to appear deep.
They're trying to, you know, get to a point of self-actualization. They're trying to better themselves. They're trying to come across as, you know, she's trying to come across as together. He's trying to come across as intelligent and worthy of her attention. And I can't say I cared about either of them. So it's a big problem for a movie like this. Channing Tatum needs a co-star like Jonah Hill. And Sandra Bullock needs someone to bounce off of, like, for example, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Because, but to go back to 21 Jump Street, I know it's an odd pairing, but they proved over the course of two movies, as silly and as juvenile and as crass as those movies are, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum have terrific chemistry together. It's not just brotherly. They have a great comedy rat-a-tat. And with Bullock, people forget she did two movies with Keanu Reeves. And in both of those films, it's weird. Who would have thought those two would connect so well together? But like Bullock and Reeves are great. Mm-hmm. And it's this weird, her very vibrant and very forceful personality, his very reserved and soulful way or whatever. However you could describe the essence of Keanu.
You can't describe his essence.
You can't describe it. You can't. Yeah. So
okay, those
cans. Are... It's just cans. Yeah, so this is a mismatch of chemistry, or rather a lack of chemistry. This is just one of those pairings that just does not work. And I like these two actors individually, but this was, you don't become an actor to do a movie like The Lost City. I can't imagine Sandra Bullock right now sitting on her patio drinking a Long Island iced tea going, man, I'm so glad I did The Lost City. That's the best thing. No, there's no way.
No, she's glad she got paid for it. That's probably it.
Yeah, and this is going to look good on their resumes because the movie made over $100 million. And, I was just talking to my buddy Greg about that. The reason it made that money, because there was nothing else in its way. It was the only romantic comedy out there. There were no date movies out this past spring. So this was the only game in town. So, of course, it cleaned up. If this movie were released in summer, then forget it. There's no way. But, it came out during a dead zone and... It was a very opportunistic time and it cleaned up.
And the trailer made it look decent.
The trailer made it look amusing. And by the way, the trailer really doubled down on the Brad Pitt appearance.
Yep.
And again, because on the one hand...
Oh, what? We didn't talk about the after the credits.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's terrible. Yes.
Okay, because after the credits... Okay, so the ending of the movie, they kiss on the beach in Hawaii, whatever. Credits roll and then we see... Dash, and it's not even his name. I think his real name is Alan.
His name is Alan. Alan Caperson.
Okay, so Alan and Loretta are at this like retreat thing, and
this yoga retreat.
The yoga retreat, yeah. And who is there but Jack Traynor? And they're like, Jack, oh my gosh, we thought you were dead. And I don't know.
The line that Pitt gives, and it's funny. It's funny the way he delivers it, is that. The bullet only grazed 10% of his brain, so he just decided to use the other 10% of his brain.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, okay, wow. And so they kind of face forward like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then he kind of gives them like the stink eye, I hate these guys. They just like left me to die in the jungle. And then that's it.
That's, what's awful about this is like the scene I mentioned earlier with Channing Tatum, suddenly his character suddenly has a high IQ. This feels completely reshot, added much later after a test screening said, oh, we want more of Brad Pitt. So it's not only contrived.
Yeah, I can't believe they killed Jack Traynor.
Not only is it contrived, but it's insulting that they even bring him back after they obviously killed him. But the thing is, too, if they get around to making The Lost City 2, and I'm sure
Oh my gosh, no.
I'm sure they will. And you know what? If they do, I want Brad Pitt and Divine Joy Randolph to be the stars of that movie, and I want Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum to get killed off very quickly. I want Channing Tatum to get killed off even faster in this movie than he was in the G.I. Joe sequel. I just want him. I want the both of them gone, and we'll let... Pitt and Randolph just anchor that movie because they will have crazy chemistry. It'll be crazy sexy. We haven't seen a pairing like this, maybe ever. And I think that would be an original and fun romantic comedy.
There you
go. As opposed to something that's like, oh, it's Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. You guys, this thing can't miss. It's going to be such a hit. It's going to, this thing will just write itself.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say at the beginning of this movie, I was like, is this like how Stella got her groove back? It was a little bit of that.
So you really thought that she was too old for him?
Yeah. I mean, she's
That's
like
interesting.
How many years older? Like 15 years older than him.
The double standard thing, it's just, it's so crazy. And you've heard me whine about this before. I remember when How Stella Got Her Groove Back came out, you know, and Angela Bassett, who is a fantastic actress, but I think she was in her mid to late 40s when she did it. You know, of course, in that movie, she's paired against a very, very young, I think, early 20s Taye Diggs. People lost their minds. People complained, so, oh my God, she's too old for him. She's robbing the cradle. A year later, Entrapment comes up with Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones, where, I mean, he could be her grandfather.
He's like 50 years older
than her. He could be her grandfather like two times over. Nobody said anything. Nobody complained. I couldn't believe, like, you hypocrites. You guys were freaking out about Angela Bassett a year ago, but nobody batted an eye.
It was less about the age gap of Bullock and Tatum and more of like, here's this sad widow, you know, and now she's in the jungle with this like younger dude. So that was kind of where I was going.
Well, that's
with
just
that.
Bad writing, right? Because the sad widow thing, again, like, you got to do something with that. Because, I mean, the sadness, I mean, all that, like, it winds up being neither here nor there. Again, like, you need a flashback. You need scenes of her remembering her husband. You need to, like, really, you know, if anything, it's just very convenient writing. It's like, okay, we need the husband to be dead because it's her and Channing Tatum. But the husband taught her.
But the husband was just like so amazing. And
so amazing.
An archaeologist.
And she was so into this that she integrated it into her books. Like it's you know, it is your fix, obviously, from a screenwriting point of view. No husband. Just have her be a brilliant archaeologist who decided to write these crappy novels.
She's the archaeologist.
Yeah, because whatever. Yeah. She's working at a museum. She can't get a grant. She's not getting the respect, whether it's because...
Then she would have been more of an expert when they finally were in the jungle together, and it wouldn't have been dumb leading dumber.
And she could have the disdain that she deserves to have because it's like, I'm an archaeologist. I have a PhD, but I can't make money doing that, so I have to write these terrible romance novels, and this idiot, this model, is more famous than me, and he's making more money than me, too.
Hey, that's a better movie.
Isn't that a better movie? Instead of this whole thing about, like, my husband is gone, but good thing he taught me everything about archaeology. Like, why? And, you know, she's writing these books. Why? And she hates Channing Tatum's character. Why? He's gorgeous. And he clearly dotes on her and loves her, even though he's a dummy.
Yeah.
But clearly she's the only... He's the only person that even has any kind of friendship with her other than her publicist.
Yeah, you're right. Babe, why aren't you writing these screenplays?
Because I'm doing this with you.
Oh, okay.
And this is more fun. It doesn't pay quite as much. Although, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be mean here, but like, I'm more proud of doing this than if I had been the screenwriter, if I had my name on The Lost City. Oh, man. Be so embarrassing.
It would be so embarrassing.
Okay, oh my God, you wrote that? No.
So
that wasn't me.
How many stars did you give it?
Oh,
did
gosh.
Did we say 1.5 or did you give it less?
I think I said 2 just because.
No way.
Yeah, I think 1.5. I think 1.5. I mean, like, this is, I mean, we said it after it was done. Like, this is the kind of movie you watch on an airplane.
Yeah.
The plane lands, you're like,
airplane.
Glad I had something to do for 2 hours. But then, like, someone asks you, how was your flight? Like, oh, I watched a movie. Which one?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember.
Something with Sandra Bullock, I think.
Oh, Miss Congeniality? I wish.
No, this movie is more like Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Did you even see that one?
No, I don't think I did.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Regina King is in it, and it's still not good. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so you gave it 1.5 stars?
1.5 stars is very generous for this movie. I mean, yeah. it's lame.
And you know,
it's
if it lost my attention after...
And you were the one who really wanted to see
really
this.
Wanted
you were
to
so
see
excited.
It.
Like, ooh, we're going to watch Lost City. I'm like, can we watch something else? I've been looking forward to this all day. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're watching The Lost City then. I wanted to watch Army of Darkness, but no, that's cool. We'll watch
we'll
The Lost
watch
City.
That next.
And then Brad Pitt shows. I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be so bad. 10 minutes later, he's dead. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is going to be a long, whatever this thing is, 90 minutes.
I know. I think it was longer than that, but yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we would have totally changed the entire plot and the actors and everything about it, and then it would have been better.
So alternate viewing choices. The other movie called The Lost City, what Angie Garcia stars in and directed, I swear, it's not the greatest movie, but it's better than this. Lost City of Z with Charlie Hunnam.
Or Romancing the Stone.
Romancing the Stone, big one. And also Alan Quartermain in The Lost City of Gold. Unintentionally hilarious, but still funnier than the Sandra Bullock The Lost City.
Okay.
There's lots of other... But yes, Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile. See them. Those are the films that this shamelessly ripped off and cribbed from. But those movies, even though they're from the 80s, they're still better than this.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm so glad we watched it because it's always fun to watch bad movies with you.
Oh, thanks, sweetie. Hopefully the next one will be better than this.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.